In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. In the readings at Mass these days, so yesterday, for example, we had those parables about the treasure hidden in the field and about the pearl of great price and the dragnet that hauled in the good and the bad fish. And this week in the readings at Mass, there are more parables, well, with some degree of repetition, actually. And this is because it was one of the, or maybe we could say it's the favoured way of our Lord of teaching, of transmitting the truths of the kingdom of heaven. So he would be very keen on bringing examples from everyday life, so that from the things that people were familiar with, their thoughts, their minds, their hearts could be raised to the things of heaven. So he was keen to talk about nets and about wheat and about flour and yeast and things like that, and agricultural examples. And this reflects the fact that he came to this world to take part in the things of this world, to take part in our things, and he would adopt our way of speaking, of thinking, and the human way of putting thoughts together and transmitting thoughts and ideas. And he was obviously aware that it's through simple stories that people's minds and hearts can be lifted to the highest truths. And some of the stories, some of the parables that we hear, they are always new for us, even if we've heard them many, many times. I'm sure you've heard the parable of the prodigal son many times. But every time we hear it, every time we think about that young man who was very rude, really, to his father and demanded his share of the inheritance in advance and then went and squandered it on wild, loose living and so on. And then when he came to his senses, he came back to his father and received that loving, forgiving, merciful embrace, the rejoicing of the father at the return of his lost son. It's something that moves us every time that we consider it, and perhaps it moves us because every time we consider it, we recognize there's a bit of ourselves there, that we all have a bit of a tendency to do our own thing, to overrule the wishes of God and to want to go off and you know, do the things that I like doing, I prefer doing, and my feelings lead me in this direction. And then maybe we find ourselves in a mess and we come to our senses and we come back in the sure knowledge that God will forgive us and shower his mercy upon us and encourage us to start again. So it's always, we might say, like a living story. So it's always something that that is living in me because I can identify with it. St. Jose Maria used to say that he would play the part of the prodigal son many times a day, you know, always feeling that he kind of strayed from what God wanted, but he came back. He's coming back many times every day. Or we might think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, a phrase, of course, that's passed into everyday language, as the prodigal son, for that matter, the Good Samaritan, because it, again, it is something that really reaches our innermost being. It kind of prods and provokes our conscience, and shakes us up, and makes us think, well, what am I doing to come out of my shell, my world, in order to enter into the world of the needs, the necessities of other people? I mean, of course, these days, a lot of emphasis on self-isolation and so on, but we want to make sure that our life isn't a self-centered life, that we don't self-isolate in the sense of only thinking about my own things, which is what in that story of the Good Samaritan, what the priest and the Levite were doing. They were only thinking about themselves. They saw this body lying by the road. They had been beaten up by robbers. And in the story, I'm always amused because in the English it says that the robbers left him half dead, and in the Latin it says they left him semi-vivus, which I suppose is the same thing from a different point of view. But anyway, it wasn't clear whether he was alive or dead. And perhaps what was passing through the minds of the priest and the Levite was that if they came into contact with a dead body, then they would need to be purified. They would need to go through this complicated process of purification, and therefore better to avoid it, better not to get involved. But of course, it was the Samaritan who was hated by the Jews, but who came to the aid of this Jewish man lying by the roadside. And so, as I say, it's there to shake us up, and it does shake us up every time we think about it, every time we pray about it. We can say to our Lord, well, thank you for bringing us all this teaching and bringing it in such an accessible way. You know, they say if you want to study the classical books, the writers and so on, some people are afraid to read the book directly, so they read what other people have written about it, because I think that's an easier way to understand it. But actually, very often, the easiest way to understand the book is to read it directly, because the other people who comment on it complicate it. And so it's very good for us to go to the sources that Jesus, his own words. He's come to this world. He's adopted a human voice. He uses human words that really, you know, get into the mind in a very vivid way. And the stories last forever. So it's very good for us to go over the parables, the parable of the talents, which has come up fairly recently as well, and you know, what use I'm making of those talents that have been given to me, the gifts that God has entrusted to me, or the parable of the unmerciful servant, the one who had this tremendous act of mercy, of forgiveness shown to him, and then who couldn't bring himself to forgive a relatively minor debt that was owed to him. In the breviary in the liturgy of the hours, the prayers that the priests say each day, the different readings from fathers of the church. And today there was a reading from St. Caesarius, and it was talking about this idea of mercy and how Jesus, well, we say in the Our Father, and forgive us as we forgive others. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of those who trespass against us. And he was talking about people who ask God for mercy, but they're not merciful themselves. So he says, I'm baffled at how people can ask God for mercy when they're not merciful towards the people around them. So that parable of the unmerciful servant then is another one to stir up this desire, really, to bring our lives more, Lord, into what you want of us, to not to go around just creating our own world and our own way of doing things, which is detached from the way you want us to do things. So if we dwell on one of the parables that came in the Mass today, it's the parable about the mustard seed. And I did a little bit of research here, and apparently some of the experts think that the mustard seed that is referred to here is the black mustard seed. You'll be pleased to know. Now, apparently the black mustard seed has this capacity to grow into a tree about 9 feet tall. So it's a tiny, tiny little thing at the beginning, almost, you know, well, I suppose it's like a sesame seed or something tiny, and it grows into this huge tree, 9 feet tall or 3 meters tall, that sort of thing. So our Lord then, what he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the biggest shrub of all and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and shelter in its branches. So the church then started very tiny, just a handful of disciples, and it spread all over the world. So maybe we could interpret the kingdom of heaven as being the development of the church, and it spreads out its branches, and all the peoples, all the birds of the air, people from all over the world are able to form part of this church, which of course now numerically has got a vast number of people in it. And so the mustard seed represents this amazing potential to develop from almost nothing into something very grand and impressive. And of course we could apply that to a human person. If we think of the development of a human person who begins life at the size of a tiny dot, but within that dot there is all the genetic information that's going to enable the person to develop and to grow. And so every single person, including Our Lady, including our Lord himself, would have started as that tiny, tiny little dot. But everything contained within it to enable it to grow into what God had designed. I remember years ago, I met this old retired school teacher who had taken to gardening in his retirement, and I was passing by one day, and he was planting seeds, and he had a packet of seeds that had on the outside had the picture of the developed flower. And he showed me one of these tiny seeds, and he says, if you ever come across anyone that doesn't believe in God, just tell them to plant one of these seeds and watch it grow. You know, how you can get this beautiful flower out of this tiny thing that looks like nothing. And everything in this world really begins small. I also heard a radio program some time ago, and I'm not sure if I grasped it or if I recall it correctly, but it seems to be indicating, they're talking about the Big Bang, and they seem to be indicating that at some point, at the, almost the beginning of the Big Bang, but just a little bit after the beginning of it, the whole universe was the size of a gobstopper, you know, like a marble or something. And then out of that, crunch, bang, whatever, and all this explosion. And so it all now has been developing, expanding for millions of miles in every direction. Anyway, as I say, I don't know if I understood it correctly. And anyway, it seemed to be indicating that everything was contained in this tiny, tiny little thing. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven and the development of the kingdom of heaven. And we can think also about the development of the kingdom of heaven within our soul, that grace comes into our soul at baptism and makes us part, a tiny part of the church, part of the family of God. And our spiritual life has that potential to grow. So in other words, we have the capacity within us to be saints. We have the capacity for personal holiness, for that capacity to develop. And it makes us think that sanctity is this gradual development. If we look at the lives of the great saints, we see that their life is one act of responding to grace after another, with growth over a period of time. And that process is also going on in our own souls now, day by day. There's this gradual development we might not be able to tell from one day to the next. You might not be able to see the growth, just as if you look at a tree grow, well, I mean, you're not going to notice anything from one day to the next, but over a period of time, of course, you can see that it is growing, so little by little, almost imperceptible changes every day. And this is why in the spiritual life, it's so important that we look after the little things. The little things. Because little things can change lives. Sometimes, of course, we might experience some little word or phrase that somebody says that changes our life. Sometimes people find from a chance comment that they look at life in a different way, and certainly it's a way that the grace often works. Maybe you think about your own life, perhaps that sort of thing has happened. Something somebody said, perhaps they didn't, weren't sort of meaning very much, but for you it meant a lot. There's a story about the preacher who had two topics to talk about and didn't know how to join them. So in the end, he just said, when he finished the first topic, he said, "And now for a complete change," he went on to the second. And apparently someone came up to him and said, "Oh, Father," says, that thought of yours, a complete change. Yes, I realize I've got to reform. So we never quite know how the Holy Spirit is acting. But the potential of of ideas as well, you see. Simple things, little words. The greatest ideas can be expressed in just a few words. You know, they say the Our Father has got 66 words or something. The General Data Protection Regulation has got 50,000 words, you know. So the most important things can be expressed in the most simple way. And yet they've got this tremendous power to them. So to say, God made me, God loves me, that God is my Father, you know, these simple phrases. You remember that retreat that St. Jose Maria went on or did quite early on, and he had that idea. He says, God is my Father. And he said, this gives me enough to pray about for the whole of the first day of my retreat. God is my Father. And if we look at the words of our Lord, sometimes very, very brief, and yet so much contained in his words. So the commands that he gives, he says to the disciples, follow me. You know, just two words, and it changes the life of the disciples. Or to the woman caught in adultery, he says to her, go and sin no more. That's just a very short phrase, but I'm sure that would have been a phrase that changed the entire course of her life as well. So the power of simple words, simple phrases, how God can act through that, as he can act through a little mustard seed, he can act also through these little words that are like seeds that are sown in our own soul. Of course, there's the famous story of Saint Augustine, who was going through all kinds of turmoil and so on, and his life was in a mess, and he didn't know where he was supposed to be going, and he ended up on one occasion in weeping, and as he was weeping and calling upon God to show him the way, and he says, I heard the voice as of a boy or girl, I know not which, coming from a neighboring house, chanting and often repeating, take up and read, take up and read. In the Latin, it's just the two words repeated, tolle, legge, tolle, legge. So it's like a sort of game or something that the children were playing. But for him, that was like a divine message, tolle, legge, take up and read. And he took up the Bible that he had, and he read the first chapter that he came across. And so it says, not, this is what he read, where his eyes fell on the text, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That had been his problem for much of his life, but it was just that children's game, that phrase that he heard, that was the voice of God speaking to him. So these little phrases that can mean so much, and little phrases that we can also use, and that can mean an awful lot in our relationship with God. So especially in the form of aspirations, as we call them. So we might say, as St. Jose Maria used to repeat, Deo omnis gloria, for example. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. It's a phrase that if we say it, it kind of resets the whole of our life, the direction of our life, because we have a tendency to want vainglory. We want to attract attention maybe in a selfish way or a self-centered way, and we're looking for praise and affirmation. And when we say, Deo omnis gloria, we say, all glory to you, Lord, then it helps us to refocus, doesn't it, and bring about a change, maybe a frequent change. The more often we say it, the more often we will change. Or we might make that act of contrition, using the words of St. Peter, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. Or we might use the words of St. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, who said, my Lord and my God, the words that we use at the beginning of these times of prayer. So there's the little things that have the potential to become great things in the sense of being things that unite us to God. Little things have the potential to become divine. They have the potential to earn the divine reward. If we remember that in the parable of the talents, the faithful servants are told, because you have been faithful in little things, you will be trusted with greater, enter into the joy of your Lord, because you've been faithful in little things. In the way, there's a chapter dedicated to little things, and just one of those points says, do you really want to be a saint? Carry out the little duty of each moment. Do what you ought and put yourself into what you are doing. The duty of each moment. And this consciousness that the way forward is through the little things, I think can be a source of consolation for us, because we might often feel that, you know, that we're no good and we're not getting anywhere. And that sort of feeling that a lot of people probably experience. But to have this awareness that the way forward is little things is something that helps us not to fall into self-pity, but instead we say, well, Lord, you know, I see myself as useless and so on, but what I can do is to make a resolution, you know, maybe to make a little sacrifice here or there, maybe to tackle some task that I've been putting off for no good reason. Maybe I could make the resolution to smile or be pleasant to someone that I find a bit awkward. Maybe I could make a resolution to show interest in someone else. Maybe I could hang something up which I just leave lying around. Just little things. I mean, little things, you know, tiny things of order and cleanliness and punctuality and things. So we can make resolutions there, and that is sanctity. That's the road to sanctity. That's the remedy, really, or we might say the way to avoid getting depressed in our own failures and so on. Well, we do fail many times a day, but we keep coming back, as St. Jose Maria did. And we keep coming back by saying, Lord, I can't do much, but together we can, you know, take a step forward. We can do this sacrifice. We can do this work well. We can make that phone call that we've been putting off. Maybe we could finish this meditation with another short little phrase, this time from Our Lady, which, again, we're very familiar with, but every time we hear it, it helps us to start again, to refocus our life. The words that she said to the servants at Cana, do whatever he tells you. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.